The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids. The thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! All right. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for July 3rd, 2020. So, if you hadn't already figured this out, we are in the middle of a major paradigm shift. So, since I've been preaching most of this stuff for many years now, then as events are unfolding, I'm falling on the floor and I am laughing. We have a frigging revolution on our hands, kids. Yippee-ti-yi-yay. So, since I didn't do a mid-month show for June, and since a lot of really important things happened in June, then I want to start off this week's show by covering what I consider to be a few of the headliner events for June of 2020.
Mana mana. Mana mana.
First off,
mana, mana.
The Minneapolis City Council voted by a veto-proof
mana, mana.
Super majority
mana, mana.
To eliminate
mana, mana.
Their police department. This is a DBFD. In their statement,
mana, mana.
City spokespeople said,
mana, mana.
We don't have all the answers
mana, mana.
For what a police-free future will look like, but our community does.
Mana, mana.
Yes,
mana, mana.
I'll bet they do.
Mana, mana.
They also said something that I've been saying in the Thunderbolt
mana, mana.
For years.
Mana, mana.
They said,
mana, mana.
Quote, decades of police reform efforts
mana, mana.
Have proved that the Minneapolis mana, mana. Police Department
mana, mana.
Cannot be reformed and will never be held accountable.
Mana, mana.
Everyone
mana, mana.
Should make an investment
mana, mana.
In making sure that this experiment works.
Mana, mana.
And the second
mana, mana.
BBFD
mana, mana.
That I would like to emphasize this week is that when the rump threatened to declare martial law to deal with protesters. He got very serious pushback on that plan from nearly every quarter, including numerous high-ranking military personnel and including several prominent and high-ranking Republicans. Since giving the rump an excuse to declare martial law has been one of the central fears I have had concerning his presidency, then that development honestly took a big load off my head. One of the places the rump threatened to deploy troops was in Seattle, where activists on Capitol Hill ran the police off and occupied the police station, as well as several of the surrounding blocks, thus creating what they are calling the Capitol Hill Organized Protest, or CHOP. As soon as the police quit beating and gassing everyone, people immediately began engaging in anarchy. They began doing such crazy and dangerous things as organizing workshops and debates, and organizing musical performances, and poetry readings, and various other subversive activities. Yeah, I better keep an eye out. This kind of stuff could start catching on. And yet another paradigm shift. Suddenly, all of these huge, soulless corporations who rarely have to worry about what much of anyone thinks about much of anything are suddenly terrified of offending African Americans. Seems these days all it takes is a crowdsourced criticism of some policy or action that can be deemed as racist, and suddenly all these corporate drones are spinning like mad to apologize and or make some sort of amends for their always unintentional tone deafness. This included even the National Football League, who, though they did not mention Colin Kaepernick by name, the head honcho of the NFL did actually apologize for stifling the free speech rights of NFL players. And yet another corporation that found itself in the crosshairs of Black Lives Matter, again, was Starbucks, whose policy was to forbid their employees from wearing Black Lives Matter buttons. That is, this was their policy until that policy was reported upon in BuzzFeed.
Take a stop about yourself, then you turn around. Take a look at who you are, it's scary.
Whereupon Starbucks was subjected to the inevitable wave of outrage. Whereupon Starbucks has now issued officially approved Starbucks uniforms that include the black Lives Matter logo. However, here is the paradigm shift in corporate policy that I found to be truly astonishing. That being that NASCAR has forbade Confederate flags from their arenas. That is such an unbelievable development that I still don't really believe it, even though several media outlets have reported it. At two, NASCAR. Next thing you know, they're going to start dismantling that most sacred of all memorials to their lost cause. And they're going to start tearing down all those Confederate statues that line Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. Hey, wait a minute. And when it rains, it pours. Yet another VBFD that happened in June is that the Supreme Court ruled that it is illegal to discriminate against LGBTQ people in the workplace. Now, while this decision technically only covered employers, it can be assumed that it covers all other areas as well. And that is historic. This was a 6-3 decision. The wording in the decision was strong and unambiguous. And surprisingly, this decision was written by Neil Gorsuch, who keeps surprising me. This is especially interesting in light of the fact that the previous Friday, late in the afternoon, the Rump had declared that discrimination had again become perfectly cool towards LGBTQ people. And it is thought that the timing on that was no accident. Now, some attribute the act to cruelty and speech by the president aimed toward the LGBT community. Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised at that. I suspect that actually, this was the Rump earning some more brownie points with his base when there was no cost for him to do so. Politics. So I often note on this program that what is good for Wall Street is often very bad for the rest of us. High unemployment rates are always good for the stock market, for instance. While the stock market did indeed originally take a hit from COVID-19, they have now made up for all those losses and more, and the stock market is once again kicking ass, making lots of money for rich people. There is a disturbing trend that probably partly accounts for that fact. their proposed economic recovery seems to be predicated upon a mass wave of bankruptcies for small independent businesses, with their market share being gobbled up by the big boys. This is true in real estate, dining out, services, advertising. This is true in almost every aspect of our economy, in fact. What we're seeing is another massive redistribution of wealth from the bottom to the top. This even includes our local marijuana market. I went to purchase my monthly supply of buds, and I discovered that the prices have greatly increased since last month. And when I questioned the bud tender about this fact, I was told that most of the small independent growers had gone out of business, and that our local pot market is being taken over by a small handful of corporate investors. The government's rescue plan includes trillions of dollars in bailouts for corporate elites, whilst providing a few token and completely inadequate crumbs for everyone else. And many of those small business grants that were included in the bailout ended up going not to small businesses, who were mostly excluded, in fact, but to huge and profitable corporations. The thing is, though, I don't think they're going to get away with it this time. I'm beginning to think that the general public is finally, maybe, starting to get it. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Ever since humans left the forests to settle in agricultural communities, human history has consisted of a non-stop clash of elites seeking to oppress everyone, whilst everyone else sought not to be oppressed. The Magna Carta, for instance, represented an early attempt by a bunch of minor nobles and middle-class craftspeople to put a curb upon the excesses of uber-wealthy royal psychopaths. The original founding of the American government represented an example of throwing off oppression, but was quickly transformed into an oppressor in its own right. The primary purpose of the American government was transformed from protecting the people of the country in general to protecting those who run the economy from the people of the country. The government now exists to serve and protect the 0.00002% from the outraged of injured citizens who built this country, but are forced to helplessly watch as their wealth is stolen and then shipped off to secret offshore accounts by corporate parasites who produce nothing. And for this task of oppression, those in power worldwide employ about 20 million soldiers and 5 million cops. In the United States alone, there are 1.4 million soldiers and 1.4 million cops. The primary purpose of all these soldiers and all these cops is to serve those in power through the threat and or through the use of violent coercion. They are not there to protect good people from bad people. In fact, actually, it is completely the other way around. They are there to protect rich people from poor people. They are here to protect the masters from the slaves. And it is good to always keep that in mind when you are dealing with them. Since education tends to be much more effective than legislation, everyone should thank Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, for he single-handedly blocked the Emmett Till anti-lynching law. Yes, kids, robbing a bank is a federal crime, whilst lynching African Americans is not a federal crime. Easy to see where their priorities are. So as a result of Senator Paul's action, the airwaves are now full of graphic descriptions of historical lynchings. Such lynchings were often preceded by long hours of pre-show activities that usually consisted of things such as breaking a bunch of bones and then burning off the victim's hands and feet before castrating him, before gutting him, and then the grand finale came when they finally hung him. In the case of pregnant women, babies were sometimes cut out of mom's stomach and then stomped to death in front of her eyes as a prelude to hanging her. And so on. Now, such lynchings were often planned events complete with advertising flyers and notices in local newspapers. And they were usually festive in nature. They were also family friendly. And all the kids were oohing and aahing as all this was going on. Because if it's okay with the adults, then it must be okay, right? Now, while such historic facts are all too familiar to many African Americans and to some researchers such as myself, most mainstream Americans do not listen to the Thunderbolt nor any other program that would be likely to talk about such details as that. And therefore, these gruesome details about traditional lynchings are very likely details that a large majority of the general public have never heard before. And now they are hearing about these details everywhere, even from such mainstream luminaries as U.S. Senator Cory Booker. Yes, thank you, Senator Rand Paul. So it's time to take a quick station break, but first I wanted to make a correction to last week's archive show. I originally recorded that show in May of last year, but I did not realize until I listened to it again that I wrongly attributed the raping of nuns and the murder of an archbishop back in the 1980s to the Nicaraguan Contras, when those crimes were actually committed by soldiers of the U.S.-backed government in El Salvador. My bad. The Thunderbolt will return in just a minute. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. So the coronavirus pandemic has brought about a few positive developments. For instance, I just heard NPR do a major piece on redlining. They explain that this practice largely explains why white people have all the assets and all of the money, whilst black people have doodly squat. The NPR report implied that the practice of redlining for all those decades is the main reason that black people have so many endemic economic problems. The NPR report further implied that these conditions had and have absolutely nothing to do with some non-existent innate characteristic contained within the African American racial makeup, but that in fact economic conditions for African Americans is a purely manufactured phenomenon. And yet another positive development resulting from COVID-19 is the fact that oil prices went below $0 for the first time in history. A while back, the oil producers were literally paying people to take their oil off of their hands. Remember, as recently as 2008, oil was selling for over $100 per barrel. And on a related note, due to the almost complete elimination of air pollution, the people in Beijing are seeing pure blue skies on a regular basis for the first time in years. In addition, people in cities all across northern India are now able to see the snow-capped Himalayan mountains rising on the horizon for the first time in literally decades. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that there are a lot of people who could probably get used to such things. And I am thinking maybe they should. And another sad piece of news that I must report on is that as of press time, Donald J. Trump Jr. has still failed to make America great again. Gee, you just can't get any good help these days. Well, maybe he'll get around to it next week. And all the way out on the other end of the scale, as far as humanity is concerned, I'm going to report on a 10-year-old saint that is living in Danbury, Connecticut. Her name is Chelsea Fair, P-H-A-I-R-E. So here's the story. Chelsea's grandfather died when she was 4. So Chelsea drew him a card to say goodbye. And she slipped the card into her grandfather's pocket at his funeral. And thus was Chelsea Fair made aware of the healing power of art. And ever after, Chelsea always turned to art to help her deal with life's vicissitudes.
Six times in 81 seconds. Something like this.
Due to her keen interest, a friend of Chelsea's family bought Chelsea a really nice art kit. Chelsea immediately put her art kit to use by creating a graphic novel called Bubble Pop Princess, who was, quote, an intergalactic hero who uses water, earth, and fire to fight cosmic evil. However, Chelsea's parents advised her that she should be thankful about having such a nice art kit, because a lot of other kids couldn't afford to have nice art kits such as hers. Well, that fact struck Chelsea Fair as being profoundly unfair. Why couldn't all kids have access to art kits? Now that just wasn't right. And so, in the spirit of the Bubble Pop Princess, Chelsea Fair decided to battle cosmic evil by assembling art kits and giving them away to kids who couldn't afford to have their own. Chelsea Fair, in fact, made a lot of art kits. In fact, with her parents' help, Chelsea Fair has now founded an official nonprofit organization that gets lots of contributions. And at this point, the Chelsea Charity has sent more than 1,500 art kits to children in homeless shelters and foster care homes throughout the land. According to Chelsea, it is important for people to be able to express themselves, because we cannot keep our feelings all bottled up. And most endearingly, from the Thunderbolt point of view, Chelsea also shared this invaluable insight. Feelings are like farts. Better out than in. Just think of it. Such ancient wisdom coming from the mouths of babes. And to further quote Chelsea, I feel good inside knowing how happy they are when they get their art kits. And I have definitely grown as a person because of this. And now my dream is to meet every kid in the entire world and give them art. Who knows? Maybe if we do that, and then our kids do that, then maybe we could bring about world peace. Who knows indeed? You can go to Chelsea's Charity with an S in the middle .com. And there, you can check out her work and donate to her cause. That's it for the news and commentary section this week. Again, I don't have any calendar events this week, but I do have them in the weekly Thunderbolt newsletter. It's just that they're all online these days, which means you need links. And one limitation to audio broadcasting is that I can't broadcast links. In addition, the newsletter contains lots of information that doesn't make it into the radio show, and therefore I encourage all listeners, but Olympia listeners especially, to subscribe to the newsletter. It will strike your email inbox once a week, and there will be contact information at the end of the show to contact me if you would like to do that. So now we're going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music. This is Lothar and the Hand People. Enjoy!
Hooray!
Media, parts of the Congress, which is now shown to be true, even parts of the judiciary, these 15 bogus judges that approved 36,000 FISA requests and turned out 11. When you get them all entangled here, you have something very much approaching what Benito Mussolini defined as fascism. Do not blanch before the word.
Do what I say, don't do what I do. I know what you do because I'm watching you. Don't you question it, don't you doubt it. Don't even think about thinking about it. God as my witness, life is a business. And busy, busy bees get money for legitness. You're a machine in which a lot has been invested. Now do what you're told before you get yourself arrested. I just want to do what I want to do. Don't you want to do what you want to do? I just
It's a long way down. It's a long way down. Now you can't lie, 'cause girl, I caught you. You can't deny you've been messing around. But where you go, and there ain't no ice water. It's a long way down. It's a long way down.
Oh, so far down that it ain't got a bottom. Thought you had wings, but I guess you ain't got them. Falling angel, don't look now.
Ooh, it's a long way down.
That was Long Way Down from the Steel Drivers. Before that was The NSA Is Watching You from an unknown artist. I don't know who that was. And we start off that set with Machines by Lothar and the Hand People. All kinds of really major things are going down everywhere. We have a revolution going on, and we need to push this because the time is now, and if not now, then when? If not us, then who? Okay? So, yeah, get out. Get on the streets. Make some noise. Let's get some right things happening. We'll see you next week. Peace.
The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day.
And you may want to grab a pen or something, because I'm about to give you some information. If you like what you hear here on the Thunderbolt, then the Thunderbolt archives are stored at dana98501.wordpress.com. That's DANA98501, which is the downtown Olympia zip code, .wordpress.com. And if you would like to continue hearing the Thunderbolt, you can contribute to our cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. And
thank you very much.